Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show, where we share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics to what we did and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hey, my name is Albert.
And my name is Ruthie.
So we're recording this episode right now, at least this opening segment, on June 15, which is several days before Comic-Con. But this is the Comic-Con episode. So Ruthie's not going to be in this episode. Actually, that's what it is. So Ruthie, I guess I'll be talking to you next week.
I guess I'll be talking to you then.
But until then, you can find Ruthie at
Grace on Instagram. That's GRACE13 for DIY random stuff, travel stuff, cat stuff, and other stuff.
Not Comic-Con stuff. Now, one of these years, you definitely should go Comic-Con.
One of these years, I definitely should. We've been talking about this for years, and I never had the chance to go.
Correct. It is hard to get into Comic-Con. But yeah, so this is the Comic-Con episode. I'll have clips here that I recorded on site, as well as the interview with David Glancer of Comic-Con. Also, Extra Stuff, Extra Spoilers podcast is going to have more content as well. And Instagram, my Instagram should have a bunch of content for San Diego Comic-Con as well. So check all that out. And so here we go with our San Diego Comic-Con International episode, which is their 49th year. I'm here once again with David Glancer, the Chief Communication and Strategy Officer of Comic-Con. Once again, it's a pleasure to be able to do this, our tradition for this interview on the Sunday of Comic-Con.
It is. Thank you very much. Always good to see you.
Yeah, you too. How's it going so far with you with Comic-Con this year?
You know what? It's great. There were a lot of changes this year. They all seem to have gone fairly well. And so, keeping my fingers crossed that it continues to go well until we close today at 5 o'clock.
Speaking of changes and closing, Harbor Boulevard closing, I think that's a genius idea. The shuttle buses can definitely go through, and the crosswalk is always available as opposed to always waiting for traffic to die down.
Exactly. You know, this is something that was discussed some years back, but the logistics weren't really possible at the time. And this year, the city and the convention center came to us and said it's something they'd like to do. And we think it's a good idea. You know, we weren't sure how it would work out, but by moving the shuttle buses off the front driveway onto Harbor Drive and closing Harbor Drive to through traffic, it did a couple of things. One is it gave more room for the fans and attendees on the front drive before we all try to cram onto the sidewalk, if you will.
Right.
Well, now we can expand ourselves a little bit more. And like you said, we don't have to compete with cars now. The crosswalks are much easier to cross by, and I think people really enjoy it.
Now, thanks for the segue, Dave, because sidewalk. So, badge only for the sidewalk. I think that's also another genius idea. It kind of minimizes the amount of people that's walking through.
It really does. So, this, look, Comic-Con is a great event. There are a lot of people who would love to attend who sadly can't, but there are a lot of people who, spent a lot of time and money to get here. And this is, like their campus, and it makes it a lot less crowded and a lot easier to navigate. So that's one of the things we tried this year, and it seems to work very well.
There's also a little bit more of security as well.
It is. You know, one of the things that when this first came about was really about safety and security and not having to dodge the traffic on Harbor Drive. And that makes things a little bit safer. But it's also, I'm sure, a security aspect because, it gives a little bit of a buffer. And I think it's just a bit easier to police. I mean, we don't typically talk specifics about security, but I think it probably goes hand in hand.
Speaking of security, I noticed we have metal detectors and random back checks now for Hall H. I didn't get a chance to see if Ballroom 20 had that, but is it only Hall H at this time?
I really actually can't talk about that.
Oh, okay.
So what we always say, and this is really true, is we take security very, very seriously.
Right.
We work with local law enforcement agencies and federal law enforcement agencies throughout the year. We have a police command post on site. We always like to say that there's a lot of security you see. There's a lot of security you don't see. It's done in such a way as to maximize safety for our attendees. And it's something we're continually working on. And sometimes, again, you'll see stuff and sometimes you won't. And, keep people on their toes.
Right. But speaking of things you don't see, thanks a lot again for the segue. In the back of Hall H, I think I noticed this before, but there is an extra compartment where people are there. I never actually asked, what is that exactly for?
That's a secret lair. If I remember correctly, I think that's the lighting and sound and stuff like that.
Okay.
Now, I take that back. I think it's lighting and other logistics. On the side of Hall H is most of the sound and video stuff. But, we've turned that basically an exhibit hall into a theater, and it really isn't set up to be a theater. So that's why you'll see different setups for the logistics of actually producing a theater in what is an exhibit hall. It's worked out. When we first started, we didn't know how successful it would be. And now Hall H has its own, people know what Hall H means separate and apart from Comic-Con.
Yeah, it catches people off guard when they look back there, like, oh, there's people there in the wall.
Yeah.
But then some panels, they're not needed at all, so it's closed off.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly true.
Now, speaking of things to go in, I think for the activations outside, I know there seems to be an uptick on RSVPs for the events, which I think is fine. But I think the attendants need to have like an advance warning, maybe like RSVP needed, or at least like a wait time, a sign saying how long the stand up.
I agree. So there are sanctioned and non-sanctioned events. The sanctioned events are those entities that worked with us in terms of following certain rules and whatnot and let us know about some things that they wanted to try. There are non-sanctioned events, and those are events that we don't know very much about. They just kind of do it on their own. I think that we've learned some stuff from the sanctioned events about maybe how to be a little bit more, I don't know if the word is fair, but a little more transparent. So I think after the convention, we'll be having some discussions with some of those people and try to make it an even better experience for our attendees.
Yeah, I mean, the people that work it, they're pretty open about it if you ask them, right? But I think it'll help some attendees if there's like a sign there saying, that way they're not waiting for a half hour and they realize, oh, we can't go in at all.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, if people are going to have a prior access to that, it should be fair and equitable.
Yeah. Speaking of prior access, the online exclusive portal, this is the first year we're doing this, right? For more of the companies.
First year in San Diego. Okay. So we had done this at, we tried this at WonderCon in Anaheim with our sister show. And, one of the thoughts was, people were spending so much time in line waiting for access that they were missing some of the show. So we thought maybe trying to do this online might give them a better experience also.
Yeah. Is there any word from the other companies whether they're going to join more? Because I know it's only a certain amount right now.
Right. Well, we'll have a debriefing. People are so scattered and hectic during the show. I think people were happy with how it went. So we'll be talking to other companies afterwards to see if we can expand the program.
Any idea if maybe we could do it's like a rough idea. I'm sure you guys have thought about this. But in terms of like the wristbands to get it to Hall H or any other kind of events, like Ballroom 20 or Indigo, I know a lot of people camp overnight now to try to get in first. Any chance that maybe the online access could be accessible for like a first access pass to Hall H, that kind of thing?
Well, we're looking at a whole bunch of different ideas of how to make the experience a little bit better for the attendees, and that's one of them.
Okay.
How that will manifest itself, we're not really sure yet. We wanted to see how this worked and then also look at how it can be applied or can it be applied in different areas. Mm-hmm. And I think once we debrief on that and have a better grasp on it, then we can explore whether or not we can do that.
I know years ago, like a lot of the old timers, Luddites, who aren't really into technology, they were concerned about like the move to do going online for Comic-Con. Has there been any feedback from them, whether they were able to adapt?
I think most have. All of our badge sales now are done online.
Right.
So I think, most people realize that, they either have access to an online component or know somebody who does. It's just, technology is coming so far so fast. It just makes things a lot more secure and a lot more expeditious. So, so far I haven't heard much negative about that.
That's good. And one thing that is positive about Comic-Con are the Comic-Con moments, the big moments that happen. This one, the three things that really stand in mind. First, giving Kevin Smith the inkpot. Really nice. Very, very classy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet.
Well, it's funny because sometimes we go through and, we'll go through the list and somebody says, so-and-so should get an inkpot. And you find out that, they got it like in the late 70s. But sometimes, they say, oh, when was so-and-so given an inkpot? And we go through and thought, oh, my gosh, they haven't gotten one, and they really deserve one. So
yeah.
I was very happy about that.
Yeah, but the highlights for me this year, if you're just curious, Doctor Who, the first female Doctor Who shows up. To me, it felt like a historical moment seeing that happen on a Comic-Con H.
Well, it's really, being a fan of all things science fiction and fantasy and pop culture, and Doctor Who is certainly right up there. It's amazing when you know that they take their fans seriously enough that they'll bring out the Doctor and present it in such a way that really gives a treat to the attendees.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Comic-Con moment that in mind right now?
for this weekend, I'm not sure. There was a program that I really wanted to see that I wasn't able to. And, you know, I think people forget that. I mean, Comic-Con is a lot of fun. But Comic-Con is also an educational organization. You can come to Comic-Con, have fun, and learn something, too. One of the things that I thought was pretty amazing was there was a panel on Thursday about propaganda and art in Nazi Germany. Oh, wow. And it was one of the guests on that panel was a survivor of Auschwitz. And, you know, I try to let people know through my interviews that you can learn something, but here was an opportunity, because most panels that we have are from the people who are paramount in their field, right?
Right.
Here was an example of somebody who lived one of the most despicable times in history.
Yep.
And she was going to be able to talk to the audience in a firsthand account of what that was like. And I think so much of us, you know, who love history, read it in books. And here was living history. So that, for me, was one of my Comic-Con moments, even though I wasn't able to attend.
Yep.
I understand the panel was very, very successful.
Yeah, I can imagine it was a very emotional one.
I'm sure,
you
know,
Like, speaking of surviving, the whole thing with Jamie Lee Curtis, have you heard about what happened?
Yes.
Like, the one guy. I mean, that was, like, an incredible moment that happened right there and then.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Those are moments that deserve to be told through history. You know, I'm getting out of here. Comic-Con Museum. What's the story behind that?
Comic-Con Museum. So we've got an executive director. We have a staff over there. We've given them some seed money to start preparing for this museum. They're now in the fundraising component of their launching. So once they, I don't know what exactly the amount is that they need, but once they have that, we should see a museum in about 18 months after that. So I think they're looking probably, in 2020.
Okay.
They have a booth on the floor, and we have high hopes for it. We're very excited.
Okay. Now, here's just an off-topic question, but what's your go-to meal when you're here at Comic-Con?
Well, it's funny you would say that, because it depends upon the year. This year, I was able to get away from the convention center. I think it was on Tuesday night, so before the actual show started, but it's so hectic for us, but I was able to get off site and I went to a favorite Vietnamese restaurant of mine.
Oh, okay.
But it was closed.
Oh.
So,
on a Tuesday?
On a Tuesday. I don't know why. Maybe they were preparing for Comic-Con too. But this year, oddly enough, fish and chips have been on my mind. I don't know why, but I haven't had a chance to have any. So, it's every year it changes.
Right.
Oftentimes it's eating in the hotel room, room service. And because we get out so late, we'll call the hotel before we leave the center. Pardon me. We'll call the hotel before we leave the center and say, hey, we're coming back. You know, can we have a hamburger or whatever? So, because the wait time is so long.
Yeah.
That by the time we get to the hotel, they deliver the food, we eat, and we go to bed.
Oh, okay. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Many times I go back to my hotel room really late at night. I'm like, get the room service.
Exactly.
Where's the 24-hour fast food place around here?
Exactly, exactly. Well, now you know you can call on your way home, on your way back to the hotel, so that when you get to the hotel, it's already waiting for you.
Yeah, all right. So here's another change of pace of what we normally do. You get to ask me a question here. What would you ask a person like myself who's been to Comic-Con 25 years now?
What keeps you coming back?
Somebody asked me that as well. Every year, I think it's a different reason. One year will be the panels. One year will be the outside activities. One year will be the people. But for me, this year, I would honestly say it probably is the outside activities.
Yeah.
I like going to do those activations outside. I know it's a little bit more limiting now because of the RSVPs and whatnot. But just roaming around the area in an environment that is pretty much geared to things I like.
Yeah, and you bring up something that I really like. And that is, you know, I've told people numerous times, I think they're probably sick of hearing it, that I always think of Comic-Con as a river. The banks always stay the same, but the water is ever-changing.
Yep.
So I love your answer because I think it's perfect. It's never necessarily one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a panel. It could be a presentation. It could be an outside. It could be people. It could be guests. It could be whatever. One of the things I think that is unique to me about our event is community. It really is about the people who attend the show, the people who sit on panels, and the friends,
right,
you know, that I only get to see once a year. So it is all those things. I'm glad. I think you gave the perfect answer.
Oh, thank you. Now, Any teases to next year's 50th year of Comic Con?
Well, we're, you know, it's a big year for us. We're working on it. We want to make sure that we have something that is representative of the 50 years that we've been around. We hope to have a nice guest list. We hope to have stuff for the fans and attendees to do. So we're still in the planning process, and I think if we pull off what we hope to do, it should be a lot of fun for everybody.
Yeah, I definitely cross my fingers that I'll be able to make next year as well.
I hope so.
All right, so the question of the week. I know it always puts you on the spot, but I think I kind of found one that not so much, okay? If you had the Infinity Gauntlet, what would be the first thing you do?
Oh, my gosh. Allow myself like a month of sleep. Would that work?
That would work.
That's not terribly exciting, but I'll be very, very honest with you. When I first started this show, I would do the show. I'd get up really early because we get up at about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And we work very late. And when the show's done, we're tired, but we can't wait for next year. And that part still remains. But I would go home. I'd sleep for a day. Mm-hmm. I'd be right back up. Now it's taking longer and longer and longer. So the ability to just like be undisturbed for a week, like be in my own stasis or whatever for a month, that would be heaven for me.
Yeah. Here's an idea.
Not very exciting, but yeah.
No, I mean, personally for me, I think that's great because I hardly get much sleep at all between my day work and then my website work and all that stuff. Going with what your answer is, maybe the ability will be to pause time, sleep,
okay,
and then unpause.
That's actually better because you know what? That's even better because if I had just gone to sleep for a month and not been disturbed, I would have woken up with a ton of emails, phone calls, and work. You're right. Pausing time. That's even better stuff. And then I can do whatever I want, right?
That's true.
But you know what? I may not ever restart time. So maybe I shouldn't get that.
Unless you go really specific. Well, the world has a bunch of molecules. So if you pause time, you can't actually move because the air itself will be stopped.
Okay.
But of course, you have the Infinity Gauntlet. Anything can happen,
that's true.
Right?
That's true. You're absolutely right. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I like your answer because my wife says the same thing too. I go like, why don't you take more vacations more often? It's like, if I leave for vacation, I'm just going to come back with a pile of work.
Yes.
And I'd rather not deal with that.
It's true. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. That was a great answer.
Yeah.
You've got great answers today.
Yes. Yeah. This has been good. Yeah. Thank you again for your time. Once again, David Glanzer, Chief Communication and Strategy Officer for Comic-Con, comic-con.org. Make sure to come to Comic-Con. If you never read the Comic-Con, you're going to enjoy it.
Thank you so much. Always good to see you.
Thank you. All right. As of right now, it is 5:30 p.m. on a Sunday, July 22, and Comic-Con is finally over.
I don't know. Well, yeah,
finally.
Well, say this year, I'll call it finally. Last year, I didn't want to leave, but this year, I was over it yesterday.
Yeah, it's weird because I mean, the first couple of days, you're like, you had the Comic Con high. It's like, yes, I'm gonna try and do everything I want. And then the longer it goes, you're like, I'm not gonna have time to do everything I want. And then you go like, I kind of want to just get it over with. and then for me, I'm kind of like, I can do one more day.
I just had for lack of a better way to put it, I had a lot of bad luck yesterday. So my Saturday was not good. So I was just kind of over it. I was just like, all right, I'm ready to go.
And that'll do it.
And my schedule today was literally like two panels.
yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even need to go to those. So,
oh, wait, by the way, that's Derek here there. Derek.
Hello.
Hi. Tell the audience where you're from.
I am from the Geekdom Fancast. We are based in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, and if you guys look at my Facebook feed, you will see I share some of his stuff. I've been in his podcast before.
Yes.
So yeah, Geek Fan.
Albert is very resourceful with the movies, so we are glad to have him.
Yeah.
Not that you're not resourceful with other stuff, but like that's what we feel your strength is, so that's what we like to bring you on.
Yeah, I'll argue Derek watches as much movies as I am, but...
No. I watch maybe as much TV as you watch movies. Well, I would go with that. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Okay, anyways, for Comic-Con. So yeah. How was Comic-Con for you this year?
Overall, I would say it was average, maybe even below.
Why?
It's just, you know, I love speaking to you of all people about this because, you know, you and I have both the 20 years plus veteran status and we know what it came from and what this used to be. So we know what it's morphed into and the beast it has become.
For the record, what is your 20 plus?
You know, I've lost track. I literally need to find
a way to... I have a bet. What year was this? Do you know?
This is... What year this is?
What year? Like, number.
This is the 49th year of Comic-Con.
49th? Yeah. I found a badge. I'd have to look it up right now, and I'm not going to do it on a podcast. But I found always have this badge. It's the first badge I ever got from the first one I ever went to. And it's like a pin badge.
Yeah, it's
like
a pin badge, right.
Like you would have from like a supermarket or a retail chain or something.
It's something that you can actually like stitch into it, like a jacket or something. It was that kind of a badge.
And like it has like the staples, like just white sticker over it, and they typed your name and stuff. Anyways, there's a watermark on it. I believe it says 21st Comic-Con. I could be wrong. It might be 25th. But so there's a bounce.
Okay. All right. Yeah. My trick is look at the program guide because the covers are pretty distinct.
I don't know where mine are though.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I have them all in a box and I know that I have them because when I put them in storage, I know that I put them in a box and I put them in storage, but I don't know where am I.
This is like a long way for me to brag that this is my 25th year.
Hey, like I said, you and I are like probably, and actually we're in my hotel room right now. Down at the Manchester Grand Hyatt, and there's a guy here staying with us, and he's been going for as long as we have.
Oh, nice.
So
if
he was here, we would probably drag him on too, because he's been going, and him and I relay stories too and stuff.
Speaking of which, a lot of people go, oh yeah, this is my 10th year going, my 9th year going, my 11th, my 12th.
Oh, yeah.
And you know why that those four numbers are very common, right?
Because of the time when the hell started.
You mean start with a T?
Yes.
As you the T as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm glad you agree, because people tell me, like, you know, well, when did you think it started changing, or when do you think it got bad? And I just say Twilight. That's exactly the synonymous year that you can so set it down to when things changed, because that was the first year that people ever started sleeping overnight.
Yeah.
It never happened before.
I'm the same as you. Like, I was in line yesterday for Indigo Ballroom, actually, and then somebody mentioned, like, I can't believe people camp at Hall H. And then I'm the guy who turns around and go, you know, we never used to always camp. You know that, right? It's the Twilight people that started the precedence.
Yep.
If it wasn't for them, we would be happy just coming in at 6 or 7 in the morning after we wake up.
Well, I do remember that. I mean, it was still not camping, but I do remember the years when... did you ever do the Warner Brothers or the Sony days or the Paramount days in Hall H?
I mean, like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Yes, I was. Okay. Yeah.
So, and they always gave fat swag bags. Mm-hmm. You'd give like two shirts, or you'd get like, I don't know, two posters and buttons. Or they would give you a full bag of stuff.
Yep.
So I would go, I mean, I was still interested in the movies, but I would go mainly because I always wanted that swag bag. My point to all this for timing wise is there are times I would show up at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
No, that's acceptable.
Yeah.
4 or 5, but because even back then, you, because I didn't go that early.
Yeah.
We're still a niche group.
Yeah.
You were just like maybe 5% at best of Hall H.
Yeah.
You know, but nowadays you have like at least 90% of people, not 90%, that's too much.
Yeah.
Let's say 50%. 50% of people camping, and then the other 50 showing up really early.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how it is. But anyways, 2018 Comic-Con, we should talk about that.
So sorry, overall to all that. That was long-winded way to say. It's just the fact of there's the whole bunch of too much to do is good. I want to have too much to do.
Right.
I want there to be so much. I don't want to be looking around like, you know. But this year, I don't want to say necessarily there wasn't anything to do. There just wasn't a lot of stuff I was excited about.
Okay.
Like, I would look at stuff on my schedule, or I would look at the offsites, and I'd be like, well, I guess I'm going to go to that. Or like, well, I guess I'll go to this panel. Because it was just the fact of, like, I felt like, you know, you can't just wander around the exhibit floor for 8 hours a day.
Right.
Or if you wander around outside for too long hunting for swag, it gets really hot and sweaty and gross. Like, you can do it for like an hour or so. But, you know, eventually you got to find stuff to do. So I would settle. There's stuff I would go to just to settle, and then like, and then you go to it, and then you do it, and you're just like, eh, like that wasn't even that good to begin with because you weren't excited to begin with.
But why settle? Just do what you want to do. And like, if you're saying there wasn't much to do at Comic-Con this year, then
there just wasn't much that excited me. There was
okay.
There was plenty. You know, we could go down the list. Of course, the 8 million offsites, but there was very few of them that I was excited to do, and a lot of them. Then when I did do them, they weren't really that fun.
Okay, for me, it's the opposite in terms of like the offsite stuff. I would like to do them, but not willing to wait in line.
Yeah.
Because the trend this year, it started last year, the year before, is RSVP.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the biggest trend of the activations, as they call it, here at Comic-Con. And if you don't have an RSVP, you're going to wait in the standby line, and you're waiting there for hours.
Yep.
So I'm like, I'm not willing to do that at all.
Yeah, now they have you make appointments or like come back. Perfect example is, I really wanted to go to this one too. Did you see the Avengers therapy session?
Oh, I heard about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went to that, and because my friend said, oh, it doesn't take, he's like, the line takes a while, but the actual session only takes like 15 minutes.
Okay.
And I saw the shirt, And I know it's silly, but I really wanted the shirt. Like, I thought the shirt was awesome. And so I went to it on Friday, and I went to it late because I thought, oh, if I go late, maybe they'll take me right away or something. The line won't be long. Lo and behold, they make appointments for that one. And she's like, oh, you're going to have to come back tomorrow. She just said, you're going to have to come back. She didn't put tomorrow. She said, you're going to have to come back because we're done for today pretty much. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I'm like, so come back tomorrow. And she's like, oh, no, we're all booked for tomorrow. For an entire day.
Wait,
already done.
That's not fair. Usually the RSVP is for like specific days. Like, how can they be booked
I don't
up
know.
To the next day?
She was basically saying they booked all the sessions that they were going to have available, which is horseshit. Like, you can't book like an entire, like tell the other people to come back tomorrow and show up early or something, or like get in line.
Kind of like the Millennium Falcon thing.
Yeah, it's like you can't just sit there and take a whole day away from people and be like, oh, well, we're already booked for a whole day for an offsite. Like, what? Yeah. No, then you're taking away any of the public's chances. And then I heard Sunday, today, I was talking with someone about it, telling the same story, and they said, oh, yeah, I went over there today. The building's gone. They said it's not even there today.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like that goes back to old school Comic-Con where Sunday all the outside stuff are gone.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, the Millennium Falcon coming into Comic-Con, I thought that was going to be the hot ticket. People are going to be talking about the Millennium Falcon cockpit thing.
My friend wanted to do it. I don't know if he got to do it or not.
I wanted to do it. But the fact is, unless you're there early in the morning or camping for the exhibit hall, you're not getting a ticket.
Yeah.
You know, so, and sure enough, there's not really much buzz, which is surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the buzz I hear are from outside because people can actually physically see that.
Yeah.
I don't know why Star Wars booth didn't have like at least the cockpit kind of visible so that people go, ooh,
yeah,
I want to be in there. But no, it's a freaking box. And unless you know it existed, you don't care.
So did you go?
I did not go.
Okay.
I was not willing to wait overnight for an exhibit hall just to get a ticket to get a fast pass, essentially.
I've talked to just, you know, a couple people, but I've talked to a couple people that know about it, but I've yet to actually talk to anyone that did it.
I know somebody who knows somebody who did it. And that's pretty much it. I even saw the picture online, so I'm like, okay, oh, that's how it's going to look. Okay.
Did it look cool?
Like, it looked fine. It looked like a Photoshop. So my guess is that unless you're actually there, it's a cool experience. But a third person look at it, like, that looked like it could be Photoshopped.
So, for the record, talking about stuff I wish I could have done, though, and just I never got around to, is your Overwatch thing.
Oh,
was really cool.
Yes.
That was really nice looking. I like that.
That was cool, yeah.
But see, that was a perfect example of, I mean, and it's all about research, people. It's like, you know, if you want to research all this stuff, you have to do the work, and I just didn't.
I didn't even know this existed until I went up the floor hey, look at this thing.
But I saw you do it, and I was like, that looks really awesome. But by the time I saw it, I think it was Friday already.
Okay.
And then yesterday, I just, I didn't want to do it by myself, and like I had this friend with me who came down and we went into other stuff. But anyways, for the point, like, but there was a for example of like that I was excited for. I saw that. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I want to do it. But the only problem is I found out about it too late.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's often a nook and cranny. Like, you won't know it there. So that's why the line was like 20 minutes long, maybe 30 minutes at best. We waited 20 minutes. So we were like, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that popped up outside. I mean, funny, we were talking about outside stuff more. Robin Hood. You know anything about this?
It's an offsite?
It's an offsite.
No.
Robin Hood was doing this promotion.
Never saw it.
I knew this by accident. Off in the corner, there's people yelling numbers or whatever. And then there are people in hoods and masks. And we're like, what's going on?
What?
And then it turns out it's Robin Hood. So you're supposed to follow the Twitter account of Robin Hood, the upcoming movie.
Okay.
And then they'll tell you where they're going to be next. And then you're supposed to go over there. And then you get like a random prize or something. And the big prize is $5,000.
Wow.
Like, and so I was tempted to try it, but I'm like, I'm not going to wait around.
Yeah, because then you have to wander around and follow them, huh?
Pretty much. And speaking of wandering around and following them, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was doing a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, I heard it. See, that one I knew about.
I was going to do it. No, decided not to.
Yeah, I don't. You know what I'm tired of? Do you do the escape rooms?
I do it on a personal level, but not here. No.
I am so tired of escape rooms. Like, I did about, I think, three last year.
Over at Comic-Con itself.
Yeah, I did. There was one for The Tick. There was one for The Expanse. And then, I'm not going to bore people. I'm brain farting on the other one.
Yeah, but this year, it's South Park.
But there was so many. That's my point. Yeah. When I was doing some research, I was reading a lot of the offsites, and some of them were escape room. I was like,
right.
Can't you guys come up with something else?
Yeah, but listen. Okay, we got Jack Ryan. That's an escape room, right?
Yes.
South Park's an escape room this year. Cloak and Dagger?
I think.
Or was it not Cloak and Dagger?
No, it was the one next to it.
It was that Facebook Watch programming.
It was like that blind witch one.
Yeah, I believe that's
the one
for
in the forest.
That's for Facebook Watch.
Yeah, the one in the the one in the forest or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were one too. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's just, for one thing, like, I'm not trying to diss anything about necessarily the concept of escape rooms. I think they're cool. But it's just they're time consuming. Yep. The lines move very slow. Like, and just me on a personal level, I'm dumb and I don't do well at them.
Right, so to put a pin on the outside stuff.
Sorry, yes.
It seems like the outside people, after all the years of experimenting what kind of outside event we should do, they realize, you know what? It doesn't matter if you can get the majority of attendees. Let's get some and have them spread it out through social media or whatever. So if an attraction outside, like the Jack Ryan Experience, which can only hold 100 people per day, which is really cool, but and you get a 25-minute experience, they're okay with that.
Yeah.
I guess all they expect that 100 people to like spread it out, tell them it exists, and here people can actually watch it happen. You know, that's all they really care about. And I think that's going to be an ongoing thing right now for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
As the years go by.
Possibly.
RSVP, and if you can't get in, too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, Taco Bell. You did a Taco Bell thing at this,
right? I did do the Taco Bell. Yeah. And oh my God, I feel so sorry for those people that... don't understand. Did you see the line?
No, I didn't even see where it was.
It was on 5th, I believe.
Okay.
Which is funny because I went to it. We went on a Friday night, you know, after eating and stuff, and it was like 11 o'clock at night, so don't ask me to be perfect on it. But we timed it to where we went. They closed at midnight, so we went at like 11:15 or something.
They actually closed at midnight?
Yeah.
Oh, I should have gone.
So we went, I think, 11:15, and we only waited in line like 15, 20 minutes and got in. Point being to all that, next day on Saturday, I saw the line go down around the corner, down the street, and like forever. Like, and I'm just like, this is for nacho fries people. Yeah, like,
I bet you 3/4 of those people haven't even seen the Demolition Man.
Well, besides that, but I went up to one of the guys because I just wanted to make sure, and I'm like, what's this line for, man? He's like, oh, Taco Bell. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, and I mean, it was kind of me. I don't know. I guess it was me trying to help the guy and kind of being a dick at the same time. But I'm like, you do know what's in there, right? And he's like, well, yeah, it's really cool, right? I'm like, it's all right. And I basically just gave it to him. I said, like, you know, like they give you nacho fries and like I give them credit for the artistic way they did it. It looks amazing. Like they have a piano player in there, and he's singing all these old school TV songs. He's singing like Laverne and Shirley, and he did a cover of Journey, and like they have the costumes up, and they have this nice looking bar and tables, and they have neon, and it all looks great. But like I said, line down the block.
Yep.
Like, and there's, and he's like, well, you know, and I'm like, there's drinks in there, but you have to pay for them. And there's, he's like, well, you get swag, right? I'm like, we didn't get anything. There's shirts in there.
Free nacho fries.
Yeah, there's shirts in there, but you had to pay for them.
Yeah.
So
it's a nostalgia grab.
No, I just wanted to let the guy know. I'm just letting you know, man. I don't know if you want to.
He stayed in line, didn't he?
Because he wasn't even close.
He stayed in line, didn't he?
I don't know. We left. I mean, who knows what he did after that? It's up to him.
But you should have said, have you seen Demolition Man? No. Then you probably shouldn't bother.
Well, I'll tell this really quick as fast as I can. It's funny on that. We were sitting at a table, and this guy comes and he sits down, and he's like, you guys mind if we sit here? If I sit here? I'm like, no, go ahead. And then we're sitting there, and my friend says to him, he's like, oh, you really dig the movie? And he's like, oh, I've seen parts of it. And like, fast forward to like, they were kind of BSing a little bit together and stuff. But like, let's say 15 minutes later, the guy just got up and left. And it's like, yeah, because it's not, if you don't know the movie, the nostalgia of the offside is going to be lost on you.
But it is very Instagram friendly, so I can see the appeal of going through it. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Instagram friendly, before we move away from outside stuff, the big giant Dell laptop thing, you didn't see that one?
I don't know. Where was it?
There's a, it was near 5th actually.
Okay.
It was 6th and Island, I think.
Okay.
Actually, so by the Sparks Museum, they have a giant laptop from Dell that's co-promoting with Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
So you're a tiny person on a giant laptop.
No, I did not see that.
And you get to play a game on it. So you get the numbers keys, and you get 30 seconds to play the game. It was...
Was this in a building?
No, it was outside. It's Crypt of the Necromancer.
Never saw it.
I'm gonna pause this podcast real quick so I can show you the video. Yes, it is. Have you played this game, Crypt of the Necromancer?
No.
Apparently, you have to move to the beat of the music, so you can put whatever music you want. You can put Through the Fires of Flame.
What are you typing on the directional buttons?
Direction, yeah.
Okay.
But you have to press it in the beat of the music. If not, you either don't move or you get hurt.
That looks fun, though, even though it looks difficult as hell.
I only waited 20 minutes for this.
Well, yeah, because no one really knows where it was.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't.
The only reason why I knew about it was Jessica Chobot. She posted in her Instagram, and then I'm like, I need to find out what it is.
That's cool. You put your video. That's cool.
Yeah. But well, anyways. Yeah. So that's arguably in my top three of favorite things I did in Comic-Con.
Today or in general?
In just the weekend.
Okay.
Because, I mean, how often do you get to do that?
No, that looks really fun. I'm very bummed I missed it.
It's Instagram friendly, and it was like a really fun experience.
That looks way better than some of the dumb ones I went to, because I went to some dumb ones.
Right. So let's talk about the actual convention itself. Yes. So the back check, metal detector thing, your opinion on that?
I don't care.
Okay.
It's probably not good to let people know this, but I can't tell you that every time I did it, they would literally say, okay, sir, open your bag, open it. They would literally take the shortest glance ever and just go, okay. And they're like, can you open your backpack? I would literally barely even get the thing open. They go, oh, okay.
it does seem like it's just for show.
So
it does seem like that.
So I don't care. I was fine with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too. And like I said, the lineage this year was fantastic. Yeah. The long lines were long lines, but they moved fast.
Oh, for Hall H, or you're saying everything?
Just in general. They seem very organized.
Okay.
All the lines I've noticed this year are very organized. They may be long, but hey, they're organized.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in terms of panels?
I will just say for right off the bat, the one I was most excited for was the one that was the best one, was the Breaking Bad reunion.
Oh, okay.
I was very, very excited, huge fan, and that was the one I was most excited for the entire convention, and I went, and I saw, and I loved.
Yeah, I was there for the tail end of it, because I was going to go show up for the Assassination Nation panel.
Oh, the Russo brother one?
The Russo brother one, okay. Yeah. And that looked pretty cool. I never heard of the movie before, and part of the charm of going to Comic-Con is finding new properties you've never heard of before.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I want to check this out. Plus, since Russo brothers involved, I'm going to check it out. Same thing with Deadly Class for sci-fi.
I missed that. How was it?
It was fine. They showed the first 50 minutes of the first episode.
Okay, and how's it look? You
know, and it looked fine.
Okay.
It still looked like a sci-fi TV show, but it looked fine.
Okay.
I mean, I'll check it out. I mean, I can't promise it was the greatest thing ever, but it was fine.
Did you go to the Amazon Showrunners one?
I did not do that.
See, that one I dug, and I wasn't sure I was going to like it, because it was just, I mean, I'm a guy who loves showrunners, writers, producers. Okay. I really like that. And, but they gave no description in the thing for in the bio for the panel. They just said who was going to show up, and that was pretty much it. They didn't say what they're going to do, and I kind of took a chance, because I'm like, well, what if they just sit there and talk for 2 hours? That's going to be boring.
Yeah, that's always the possibility.
But they did it really cool, because they just went to each single one of them, and they showed a trailer for each of one of their respective shows, and they kept it moving pretty brisk, so they didn't stay on any particular person for too long. So they're like, you know, all right, here's the thing, and now let's talk about, okay, next one, here's the thing, here's talk about, like, so it was, they didn't really give you time to get bored.
No, all right, so well, that's good.
Yeah.
The Doctor Who panel, arguably one of my favorite ones this year.
You're a Whovian?
I'm a Whovian.
Oh, okay, I've never watched, though.
For me, it was historical seeing the first female doctor. Well, female, she's an alien.
Yeah.
But on stage, the first time in Comic-Con with the first cast kind of thing, so it's like, oh, this is, I felt like he was history in the making.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Lee Curtis.
Halloween.
The Halloween one was like a phenomenal Comic-Con moment, where the guy told her that remembering, because it was a Q&A session. He himself was experiencing like a person broke into his house with a knife, right? And for whatever reason, he thought of Halloween. What would Jamie Lee Curtis do?
Oh, wow.
And that's what he did, and he survived. So literally,
he took the person out?
No. In the movie, she ran out and screamed.
Oh, well, I mean, I wasn't sure which in the original. I wasn't sure which Halloween we were referring to.
Well, I mean, there's only really one.
Yeah, true, very true.
But yeah, so it's like,
well, that's cool.
Like she literally, or at least the memory of that movie with her in it, literally saved his life.
Yeah,
and he teared up.
Oh,
he teared up. The whole crowd was like emotional from this, and she stepped out of the stage, gave him a hug, talked to him a little bit.
That's nice.
It was like one of those Comic-Con moments that 5-10 years from now people will refer back to. You know, no different than the guy who got his eyes stabbed. But that didn't really happen. But
I will just have to say, I just want to go with same sentimental moments at least. I went to the Big Hero 6 one.
Oh, okay.
And it was funny, because all the questions were from little children. There was no like teenagers or adults.
Good.
It was all like, I don't know if this was by design or something, or maybe they had it prearranged. I don't know. It was way too weird that no one else asked questions, but still, it was cool. So this one little girl went up there, though, and she asked if she could, I forget the guy's name, the guy that does the voice for Betamax, but she asked him if she could fist bump him.
Oh, really?
So nice. He went,
he went down the side of the stage and he walked, and she went with her mom, you know, down the side of the stage, and they did the little fist bump. But
did he say la 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 la?
No, no, he didn't say.
Oh, come on.
But as much as it, well, I mean, he might have, but he didn't have a mic. So
if he did, I
didn't hear it.
Oh, I see.
But the point isn't that it maybe doesn't sound as interesting to say that, but watching it was amazing.
Yeah, those are the kind of moments you look for when you go to a Comic-Con panel.
And then I can't remember if you watched, but you know The Walking Dead, right?
Yes.
So Kari Payton's on the place King Ezekiel's on the new season, yep, or new episodes or whatever they're going to do. And it's so funny, after they did that, he's like, "Can we get some tissues up here, please?" It was so funny.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people go to the Comic-Con panels for the exclusive like clips or whatever. And you know, that's part of the appeal as well, but for me, I really want like those Comic-Con moments, like even Bumblebee, which had like, it opened up with Stan Bush singing like, "You got the touch,"
right? I heard about that.
Yeah, and then like and John Cena like rushing into the stage, you know, everybody yelling his name kind of thing. That was great.
Oh, I didn't see it. Where did he run from?
He ran from the back of the Hall H.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, they played the music, and then we were like, "What's going on? What's going on?" And then sure enough, there was John Cena. Like, yeah,
that's cool.
Great.
I like that.
Yeah, the panels this year, I thought, like, yeah, like you're saying, there was no like big blockbusters. No Marvel Studios. No Star Wars. No Game of Thrones. No, none of the blockbusters that usually highlights the news media about what Comic-Con is.
Well, Walking Dead, but...
Yeah, well, Walking Dead.
Walking Dead was kind of important. I didn't go, but Walking Dead was important this year because of Andrew Lincoln. So, like, there was that ceremonial thing with him leaving was a big deal, but...
Yeah.
Other than that, like... Yeah. It was just the typical run of movies.
It felt more personal, the panels this year. Because I know a lot of the news media want to have, like, a highlight. Like, they showed this, you know, mm-hmm, they announced this. But yeah, I think a lot of the panels really was, like, geared towards the fans. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the stuff that the fans want to know about, not necessarily the rest of the world, mm-hmm, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I thought the panels this year were perfectly fine. You know, it didn't make me want to stay in Hall H for the rest of the whole day. Sure.
So they,
but I got to do other things.
They were fine, but there just wasn't a long list of like must-sees.
Well, that does depends on the eye of the beholder.
Oh, okay. Like, I mean, it just, there was a lot of, I can't tell you how many panels I saw on my list that I had, you know, selected, and I just didn't even go.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, 10 years ago, I would have gone to like so many panels.
Yeah.
Right. And lately, that's not my thing anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's got to be worth my while now. Like, I will say, in sense of being bummed, missing the Brooklyn Nine-Nine one, I was pretty bummed about.
That I was bummed about. I wanted to go to the Nine-Nine.
Yeah, I really wanted.
Nine-Nine?
Did you even try?
No, okay. I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, this is the line of people who want to try and get in. And I'm like, I'm going to be one of them, so I guess I'm not going to bother.
I was inside the ballroom, but we still didn't get in.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, we were inside the lobby or whatever, and we still didn't get in. Yeah. Because the thing is, like, no one left after whatever the previous panel was. Because
everybody
left.
Was waiting for 99.
Yeah, so I got screwed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they still get in below 20. It's a decently, it's the second biggest a room in Comic-Con. So
yeah,
it wasn't a Comic-Con was going like, nobody watches that show. I mean, they knew there was going to be a crowd.
I mean, the only way that it wasn't too bad is because it was at 7 o'clock. So I literally was already done with my day to begin with. So it's not like I missed anything else to go to it. So,
yep. Okay, to put a pin on this conversation, I just want to mention like 15 minutes before the doors closed in Comic-Con, a line magically showed up. A long-ass line magically showed up, apparently for some kind of freebie, a fanny pack from Fox Booth. The majority of people in line probably didn't even know it's a fanny pack, but all they heard was, giveaway, free giveaway.
Yeah, that's all they need to hear.
Rushed into the line, and suddenly, 15 minutes before Comic-Con closes, there was a long-ass line, because Comic-Con is synonymous with lines.
Yes.
Go figure.
Yeah, that is very true.
But yeah, so there you go. There's our Comic-Con 2018 experience. I personally had a lot of fun. My 25th year didn't let me down, but it wasn't, I would say, like an A-quality Comic-Con, because there were all these little things like me staying 40 miles away from the convention. It takes literally almost an hour and a half for me to get here. And
that's brutal.
And I may as well just drive from home.
Yeah, exactly.
So it kind of bummed me out. I couldn't do like the night stuff as much, because I'm like, I kind of had to be responsible and head home.
Yeah, because you're like, if I go to something at 8 and it gets out at 9, so that means I'm not getting home until 10:30.
No, you're being generous. If you go to something at 9 and get out at 11, that means I won't be home till like 12:30 or 1 at the hotel. Jesus. No, but the trolley stop at 12.
Yeah, so, that's rough.
Yeah, I next year I really had to make an effort to try and find some place where I can actually literally just walk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, go figure. All right, like kind of like you here in the Manchester Hyatt.
Yeah, like you know, when I was coming every year, we used to park down here and pay the money and, you know, and stuff. And then they just kept raising the rates. It got to the point where I realized I was spending like $200 in parking fees.
Yep.
And I'm like, why don't I just put that money towards our hotel room?
Yeah, it's true.
So that's what I do.
It's true. I Ubered it one of the days and I could have just like used that money to park.
Yeah. So,
but yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. That's Comic-Con 2018. And, hopefully next year you can go as well for the 50th year. All right, let's go see what's going on. So going back to what you're talking about, how Marvel was doing this whole like therapy session for Infinity War. Kind of thing. What have you heard about that actual thing? Like, what do they do?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't ask the guy. Oh, okay. I know. So my friend just said it was very short and it didn't take that long. It was only like 15 minutes, but he did post some pictures and it's funny. Like there was like a room and it had like teddy bears and stuffed animals in it and stuff. So there was like tissues and stuff. So it looked pretty funny.
Oh, okay. Apparently you're supposed to like share your favorite thoughts about the MCU, like why you miss these characters who are no longer around anymore. Spoilers. And I guess you get a donut, you get a deleted scene from Infinity War to show you that, and you get a t-shirt.
Yeah, I want the shirt.
Yeah. So it's like an Avengers group hug therapy session.
But like I said, like, yeah, it was my fault too, because I could have made the time to get over there sooner on Friday, but I tried to be clever and I'll show up late and they'll take me. And nope, that didn't work.
Yeah. So speaking of other fandoms that need like a group hug, Star Wars. So Mark Hamill throughout the whole weekend was going like, I'm in Comic-Con. I'm in disguise. You know, and did you make an effort to try and find him?
I didn't even know he did this.
Oh yeah, he was doing that.
I didn't know he did this.
My friends who weren't at Comic-Con were like telling me like, Albert, you need to find him. And I'm like, I would like to find him if I could.
Yeah.
But seriously, hours ago, there was a stormtrooper walking by, and yeah, I had to second guess, is that Mark Hamill? Because if you look at this picture, he was in a stormtrooper outfit, right?
So the story is legit.
The story is legit, apparently.
He didn't just rumor this, like, hey, I might be there.
That's what I was thinking too, but I'm like, what if it really is him? And
yeah,
the person that walked by me in a stormtrooper outfit, which, oddly enough, there isn't very many stormtrooper outfits.
There was not a lot of Star Wars this year.
Yeah, so
it was very little Star Wars.
Yeah, so he was going around. Like, kind of, it would have been nice if I ran into him.
You're talking about Ryan Reynolds going around?
No. Yeah, what's the story there?
I'm not sorry, but you know, just everyone always, a lot of these celebrities like to dress up and like, so that way they can walk around like a normal person. And I guess he posted a lot on social media from him being on the floor. So then everyone knew he was on the floor at some point. And everyone's like, oh crap, Ryan Reynolds was on the floor.
Yeah, speaking of normal person, AJ McLean, formerly of the NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. I guess he had like.
Shouldn't brag that I know that.
he probably performed like a Backstreet Boys song by himself with like a group.
Okay.
In one of the parties at the Comic Con.
Oh my god.
That seemed like to be like an Instagram movie. Like, it's AJ McLean from Backstreet Boys. Yay! Look at him.
I would have been like, oh great, hurry up and sing it off the stage.
Going back to Star Wars.
Yes.
Apparently, they were showing one of the original lightsabers used in the movie. And apparently that was like, it's like at least over $240,000.
What?
So inside Comic-Con.
Oh, because it's authentic, yeah.
It's authentic. Inside Comic-Con, there was something that expensive, you know. So luckily.
Did they have it like in a vault with like five security guards?
I don't know. I didn't actually see it myself, actually. But yeah, it's kind of incredible. At least they know that nobody's going to steal something or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. So final thought here. Well, not final thought. Two more. What's going on here? Jeff Loeb, did you go to the Iron Fist panel? I'm sure you did not.
So, what is it called?
Iron Fist 2.
Oh, no, I did not.
Neither did I. Apparently, Jeff Loeb, old white guy, comes out in a karate gi. Can you be any more racially insensitive after all the complaints that you have
about Iron Fist himself?
About Iron Fist himself. And you do that crap? And supposedly he's doing like Miyagi wisdom stuff or whatever. Like, dude!
did he try to talk too?
Apparently so. I don't know if he made the sound, but this headline right here says Marvel executive Jeff Loeb is under fire for wearing a karate uniform to promote Iron Fist.
Do you know people booed him?
I don't know. Oh. I was not there.
Oh, okay. People, I don't know if it's in the article.
It was just people on Twitter going like, or Instagram going like
what the hell are you doing?
Like, yeah, like, is this real life? Am I seeing what I'm seeing?
Oh, jeez.
So like, dude, Jeff Loeb. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of you in the first place, but you are somewhat involved with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has a strong Asian cast and whatnot. But, dude, you have to have some self-awareness.
Apparently not.
Apparently not.
Apparently whoever checks him before he leaves the house did not that day.
Yeah, totally, totally. All right. So, final pin here. Not even Comic-Con. Well, kind of related. But apparently, I know Comic-Con people said it's the biggest geek convention, largest crowds. And apparently, Tokyo's Comic-Con is the biggest fan convention in the world. because it holds around 500,000 people.
What does?
Comic Cat? Comic Cat. Comiket. Where also is this? Known as the Comic Market. It's in Tokyo.
Oh, wow.
So 500,000 people. And this is the 94th Comic Cat.
Okay.
It's been around forever.
Oh, my God.
500,000. What holds 500,000 people?
I don't know. It's a very big building.
Well, I don't think Comic-Con is going to go this far.
Are they trying to say that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's going to be the attendance of that event.
No.
Apparently that's normal for them.
No.
It's crazy.
I don't think because the thing is like, as much as Comic-Con's crazy, it's getting more expensive and hotels and everything and stuff. Like, as much as they could probably get more people if they sold more tickets, there are a lot of people that just can't even afford to go.
There's just no space too for more than that we have right now.
Yeah,
Comic-Con.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like 130,000, 140,000 tickets, badges.
Yeah.
And then it's literally like another of that outside.
You know? I want to get your opinion actually, just because you're on it. What do you think of the thing that people try to say that it's going to leave someday?
Oh, no, no. I don't believe that's going to happen.
I don't either, because where's it going to go? There's nowhere for them to go. Yeah.
All it really is, I think, is half of it is it comes down to San Diego, not Comic-Con. Comic-Con themselves have said, we'd rather stay at San Diego.
Uh-huh.
We're from San Diego. We're familiar with this place. We'd rather stay here. Right.
Right.
If San Diego plays hardball with Comic-Con like they were last decade,
mm-hmm.
there was a chance that they could have left, but they would rather not.
Yeah,
you know. So even when San Diego promised, like, oh, we're going to expand the convention center so that you guys can stay,
yeah,
they haven't done it yet.
Nope,
still Comic-Con's still here.
Yep.
Right. So yeah, I'm not afraid of that.
Yeah,
I'm not afraid of that at all.
Well, no, but I'm just saying but honestly, in the logical sense, like, can you imagine where they could go? Everyone says Vegas, but I think Vegas is too non-family friendly, and it's like, yeah, there's hotels, but they're expensive as hell. Like, you think the ones here are expensive, the ones there are probably even worse, and it's far in the middle of the desert.
That was brought up on a talk back a couple of years ago, and those family friendly is one of the things they said.
Yeah.
The other thing they said was really important is the heat.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
People would be passing out.
People would be passing out.
It could be July over there, yeah.
Yep. All right, and that's what's going on. Well, listeners, this was episode 193 of the Stuff in Junk Show, recorded throughout the San Diego Comic-Con 2018, actually specifically July 22, as of this recording. Thanks for joining us. Derek, where can people find you online?
I am at The Geek Potato on Twitter and Instagram, and then also my podcast, The Geekdom Fancast. We are at Geekdom Fancast on Twitter and Instagram and iTunes and all that good stuff.
And it is Albert. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Albert5x5. You can find me on the I Saw the Movie blog, the Spoilers Please podcast, Extra Stuff, Extra Spoils. By the way, the first part of this Comic-Con coverage is at the Extra Stuff, Extra Spoils podcast. So take a listen to that. I did interview Ralph Garman and Kevin Ryder, actually.
You interviewed Ralph Garman?
I interviewed Ralph Garman.
That is all. I would love to have him on our podcast.
So listen to that. As of this recording, it's currently on-site, online right now. So take a listen to that. Also, check out the weekly comic strip we had, which we did two Comic-Con related comic strips. So check that out. It's over there at the whoatwearswear.com. Also, now, if you want to send comments, send it to whoatwearswear@gmail.com via our Facebook page or to the website. If you want to show your support, head over to whoatwearswear.com/support to find out how. Music has been provided by the Y-Axis. Find them at theyaxis.com. All the links and information can be found at whoatwearswear.com. As well as the show notes. So now you know when you listen to this episode where Albert goes like, I forgot the lines because I'm actually.
You have no idea how weird it was to listen to your show for the amount I've listened to it and to actually see you do that in person.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird.
Trying to go by memory, right?
Yeah.
Trying to go by memory.
You seem like you have it down though.
Yeah, well, yeah. If I stick with the script, the problem is when I go off script is when it screws me up. You know. So, anyways, but And although Extra Stuff, Extra Spouse has almost all the interviews I did, I do have one more interview that I recorded. I interviewed somebody here at the Sunday Comic-Con. Just one interview. So I'm going to go ahead and play it for the after credits right now. I'm still here at day four for Comic-Con. And who am I with?
Maxwayne Meralt, San Diego.
Now, I saw you walking by with a sign, Infinity Wars, and then you had like these baggies of all the superheroes. Took me a second to get it, but I got it, and that's hilarious, man. Where'd you come up with this idea?
I don't know. I just kind of thought of it. I just kind of thought of it like a month ago, and then like the first four days here, I didn't see anyone do it, and I thought it was kind of odd. It seemed a little obvious. Yeah. I was going to charge people like $5 a bag, but I don't know. I think
you ever consider maybe having one baggie with an actual person? So he was spared?
I did, but I didn't. I don't know. I like this idea better. Originally I was gonna put using like Black Sam for Black Panther or like putting like little quotes in there, but I feel like simpler was better.
The geeks will say like no, but there was no colors in the ash. It was all just black ash. So yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a question that I ask everybody. Coincidentally enough, now if you had the Infinity Gauntlet, what would be the first thing you do?
I'd pick my nose with it. I start off by picking my nose with it. Probably the exact same thing Thanos did.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So you're saying Thanos was right?
Yeah. I was against him at the beginning of the film, but he persuaded me by the end.
Okay. All right. And where can people find you online so they can complain?
Excuse me?
Where can people find you online?
Well, I'm not online. I just have I have a Facebook account and a Twitter that I barely use, so.
Sounds good. Enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, thank you. You too. All
right, so there's one interview that I did on July 22 at Sunday Comic Con. Well, I said a bunch of things today, but thanks for listening.
And we will be saving a seat for you in Hall H. Thanks for listening.
Until next time, this has been another podcast on the Who What Where's Why Network.